Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
I know you want to turn the page on 2022 personally and team-wise, but I do want to delve into this because, and we've talked about it throughout the years, that you guys were a huge favorite to repeat as division champs. And I know there were injuries, but there were injuries the season before and you won the division by 11 games. So as White Sox fans are listening to this, can you put your finger on the biggest reason it went so south for you guys this year?
We sucked. That's it.
Welcome to episode number 159 of the Chris Rose Rotation, a production of John Boy Media and presented to you by our friends over at SeatGeek. And we would like to welcome in one of our regulars around here, Lucas Giolito of the Chicago White Sox, who I believe just got done with his first offseason workout. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. Yes, sir.
Okay. So what do we do in the end of October to get ourselves ready for February of 23?
I took a little bit of time off, a little decompression time after the season. But oddly enough, despite the fact that I had a very poor year, I thought coming into the offseason, I would like want nothing to do with baseball and like I wouldn't watch any playoffs and like I would take as much time as humanly possible before I really had to get back in the gym. But that it didn't turn out that way. I've watched like damn near every playoff game.
Wow.
And yeah, I just started today down at my new spot. Shout out to Ryan Chapman. It's called Chapman Compound, Chapman Baseball Compound, or Chapman Pitching Compound. I don't remember exactly what the name is, but it's a great facility. It's down in Irvine. It's a little bit of a drive, but I get out there. We set up, I actually like right at the beginning of the offseason did some biomechanical stuff, threw some pitches, like with my shirt off. They got to get the readings, kind of see like, you know, how everything's flowing. And now we have a very comprehensive plan in place to, get me back in the right positions. Some plyo care stuff and exercises, movement patterning. And so I just started today. I'm excited about it.
Well, does that mean you're not going to be throwing yet? I mean, you have to give your body rest, don't you?
So, yeah, the science, at least to my understanding, is pointing more and more towards once you're at a certain point in your career, it's not really worth it to shut down completely. Talking with doctors and things like that. I've been pitching for so long that it can actually be a detriment to like go from, you know, pitching every 5 days, throwing 100 pitches, to then just like, boom, shut down completely for like a month or like a month and a half. Because when you start to ramp up again, like your body has like gone into like this full on like healing mode. And now everything's kind of a little bit tighter and, you know, you kind of put yourself at risk. So I did take some time off, like, don't get me wrong, but I'm at a point now where I want to, you know, get back to it and you know, correct the things that aren't right and start to develop really good habits and patterns.
Okay, good. You guys got a place in San Diego. I know obviously that's where the good doctor is practicing these days. So got to spend some time down there, look at the ocean, sip some wine, decompress, right? This was all on the agenda the last few weeks.
Yeah. It's been a good, like, relaxing start to the off season, but I'm ready to get back to work.
Okay. Yeah. I can see that. What do you like when you watch a playoff baseball game? Now, obviously it's very different when you're emotionally invested with a guy like Max Fried, who obviously didn't pitch as well as he would have liked and was dealing with some sort of illness on top of everything else, and just buddies from around the league. And then there's just games where you probably don't know the guys very well. Some you might not even root for, all that sort of stuff. What is it like watching a game with you?
Yeah, I didn't really, I don't have a dog in the fight anymore. At this point with just two teams left. I was rooting for the Braves, early on, rooting for Max, obviously. I was also rooting for the Cardinals early on, Jack's on the Cardinals. But you know, they both kind of got knocked out early. And since then I've just been kind of taking it in, watching the games, watching, especially I like to pay attention to like starting pitching and, you know, what those guys are doing, you know, watching, you know, guys like Musgrove and, you know, all the aces on the Astros, seeing what they're doing, you know, each outing, kind of like adjustments they're making. So I'm just like kind of looking at it with my baseball eyes, taking things in and just enjoying the games.
I don't know if you were watching yesterday when Bryce Harper hit the home run. Were you watching?
Oh,
that
yeah,
live?
I was live. Yep.
Were you screaming at the television like I was and saying, "Where's Josh Hader?"
Was it, what inning was it? The eighth?
It was the eighth.
Yeah. Some weird questionable stuff went on the last couple innings there. The bunt, the Grisham bunt.
Don't start with me. I mean,
I was confused by that.
Confused. I mean, I'm a huge Bob Melvin fan, and I think managers can make a difference. Like Plouffe doesn't think so. I do think managers can make a difference. Why in the world you would pitch to Harp? I know they had to get through two innings, but Hader's your guy there first and foremost. Like if you have to figure out the last two outs of the game, fine. But this might be the biggest bullet you have to fire there, right? You would agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the bunt with one out in the, how can you do that?
I don't know. It looked like he was trying to get down the third baseline, but then it didn't. But like, that's the thing when you're bunting, like it's hard, man. You expect like a perfect bunt for a base hit. Now you have bases loaded, one out, like the chances of that happening are pretty low. I don't know if they saw it as like, okay, worst case scenario, sacrifice bunt. Two outs, runners on second and third. Best case scenario, like perfect bunt down the line, and then it's bases loaded, one out. But I mean, you take the chance swinging the bat. That's how I see it. Absolutely. You know, when your back is up against the wall, like you just hope he gets a knock, hopefully like a big knock, and now you can retake the lead. But now you're putting a lot of pressure on Nola to keep the season alive with two outs. Yeah, that was a tough one.
You're going to bunt to bring up your number nine hitter? Ugh. You did start your big league career with the Washington Nationals. So Bryce Harper was your teammate for a little while. How amazed are you as a guy who's, I mean, you've been in the limelight. We've heard your name ever since you were in high school, you know, possible number one overall pick, the whole deal. But Bryce Harper's like on a different stratosphere when it comes to a guy we've known since he was 15, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
How amazing is it that he's basically lived up to it?
I'm not that surprised. He's really good. He's always been really good. I think that, you know, obviously early on, and I think he's like talked about it too, like being under that kind of limelight early on, it's going to give you a big ego and all those kinds of things. But based on everything I've seen, like he's learned a lot. He's grown a lot. He's very mature. And he's the team leader. Like he's the heart and soul of the Phillies. And this is their first playoff appearance. Is this his first playoff appearance ever?
No, with them. Remember he took.
Hunter Strickland. The Nationals. Yeah, the Nationals.
He hit the ball off of Hunter Strickland that's still going.
Yeah. But no, I mean, this is like it's a real deal. Like that's who he is. You know, I think that over the years, he's grown into not only an elite player MVP, but also a leader. And he's providing that leadership for that group of guys. They got hot at the right time. And you see him now. I mean, they're in the World Series. I don't think anyone was predicting the Phillies being the World Series this year.
Hell no.
But that's how baseball is. And they have such a great leader in Bryce. Leading by example, obviously, like just mashing the ball, plus, you know, vocally, you know, bringing those guys together. Yeah, it's working.
Do you think, Plouf and I have kicked this around, do you think the Astros need to win a World Series to legitimize this amazing run they've been on over the last 6 years?
Well, they won in 17, right?
Okay, Lucas.
But it's like that, but it's like the asterisk one. Here's the thing, is like, it's all those teams were cheating then, I think. The White Sox weren't. I'll tell you that right now.
If so, y'all sucked at it.
Yeah, no, we were not doing any cheating in 2017. But based on everything I've heard, it was like all the teams that were in the postseason that year were like doing the same shit. So I think that's also kind of why like the players like kind of had that like half apology energy when they were like apologizing all this stuff, because they probably knew like, man, like we got caught, like everyone was kind of doing this stuff. I mean, do they need to win the World Series to legitimize? I don't know, man. I don't know. They're like they're a dynasty team. Like they get this far in the postseason, like every damn year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you saw what they just did to the Yankees. They embarrassed them. Four game sweep. It wasn't even close. I don't know if they necessarily need to win. They're definitely the favorites. Like what's like the Vegas odds right now?
Yeah, the DraftKings odds, it's heavy in favor. It's going to be one of the bigger upsets if the Phillies pull it off.
Basically. And that'd be really, it'd be really cool if the Phillies pull it off. I think
hell
so.
Yes,
it would be badass.
And by the way, the only thing that really worries me is, can the Phillies bullpen continue at this rate? Because the Astros bullpen, just their pitching 1-12 has been awesome all year. The Phillies, up and down.
Yeah, that's what I see with the Astros. It's the pitching and defense.
Amazing.
You know, you look at the last series, like Altuve was cold. Tucker, he had a couple big hits, I think, but for the most part, he was kind of cold. Alvarez, after like literally carrying them against the Mariners, went super cold. So they, like, these big names in their lineup went cold. And then you have the younger guys stepping up, McCormick and
Pena.
And Pena, the shortstop. But it was all pitching and defense. That's how they dominated that series.
Yeah,
you know, they have obviously Verlander, who's like the ace of all aces, and then they got Framber, who's an ace, and then they got, I mean, go, you want to go down the list, like
McCullers,
Vasquez. They have, it's like the four starters are using are ace level, and then every single guy in the bullpen is just absolutely locked in right now. And then the defense, they're making every damn play.
Yep.
That's how you win.
It is how you win. It's how my team was winning for quite a while.
Yeah, I witnessed it. I witnessed it all year long. They were pitching well. They were playing clean defense, and they were taking advantage of the other team's mistakes constantly. That's how the Guardians did so well. They would get lucky. They did get like the number base hits and stuff, but like teams get those all the time. Like it's not like the Guardians were like, oh, going up there on purpose. Like, okay, time to like fillet a ball out to right field. Like it would happen. And then they would take advantage of it. Like it was like, they were all in the momentum, like feeling that momentum as a team, and then super clean defense, super clean pitching. They win the division. So yeah, that's my take.
Hey, everybody, you know that baseball has gone tech big time. That's why I want to tell you a little bit about Rapsodo, the industry-leading player development tool in the game. It is offering a special offer on their hitting and pitching 2.0 units. So here's what I want you to do. Go to rapsodo.com/johnboy or click the link in the description to get up to $1,000 off. It is trusted by the best in the game. It is used by every major league team, 100% of the Division I champions since 2010, over 1,000 colleges, more than 7,000 coaches believe in this thing. Rapsodo's technology provides hitters and pitchers even more data and insights than ever before. Pitchers can complete a pitch arsenal backed by accurate data. Hitters can improve their exit velo with instant feedback. In fact, the Rapsodo Diamond app pairs with the units to offer a unique training experience for baseball players at any skill level. So work through the sessions, get this thing working. If you're a hitter, they got a spray chart. You can crank up the competition in the cage with game mode, Rapsodo's interactive hitting feature. Once again, this is the deal. Rapsodo.com/JohnBoy or click on the link to get a special discount, hitting and pitching 2.0 units. You could get up to $1,000 off. Who knows, if you improve enough, maybe I'll be interviewing you on the Rose Rotation one day. I know you want to turn the page on 2022 personally and team-wise, but I do want to delve into this because, and we've talked about it throughout the years, that you guys were a huge favorite to repeat as division champs. And I know there were injuries, but there were injuries the season before and you won the division by 11 games. So as White Sox fans are listening to this, can you put your finger on the biggest reason it went so south for you guys this year?
We sucked. That's it. Why is that funny? It's true. What do you, there's no excuse. Like, I sucked. Some guys did really well. Dylan, Liam, but, and you know, I don't want to speak for other guys on the team, right? I sucked. I'm one of the starting pitchers on the team. Like, it's important that I do well for the team to do well. You know, I'm sure if you ask other guys on the team, they'll probably have a similar answer. But you know, there, what are you going to do? I'm not going to point fingers at our manager. I'm not going to point fingers at the front office. You know, they're not the ones taking the ball. They're not the ones playing. That's pretty much it. We sucked. You know, sometimes like we'd be doing well in one area, we'd be sucking in another one. We'd lose games. There were little spurts where we'd put it together and then, you know, we would start sucking in a certain area and it would drag it down. Like, it is what it is. There's no excuse. You just learn from it, get better, come back better. That's it. That's what I'm doing right now. That's what I'm trying to do.
Are you worried? And I know it's out of your control, but are you worried that this group of guys won't get that shot to try and do it? Because it's still a relatively young team for the most part, where there's a lot of guys in their prime. But do you think that there might be an overcorrection and people will say, hey, listen, they're all good dudes, they're all good players, but we don't have the right mix here?
I think that's above my pay grade, man. I don't know. I don't make those decisions. I agree with you. I think we do have a good group of guys. I think that if we are a little bit more all on the same page from the get-go, really take it seriously, really like learn from our mistakes from this past season, come together, you know, be a family, be in it, be in every single game, like treat every single game with the utmost importance, then yeah, we have a very talented group of guys and we can turn it around. That's how I feel, but it's not my decision. I'm a player. I'm not a front office guy.
I get it.
Yeah.
You do need a manager. Tony's out.
Yes.
How much do you pay attention? Do you seek out the reports about who they're interviewing? Do you call Rick Hahn and you're like, hey, Rick, what's going on, man? How's it going? No,
it's again, it's not my job.
No, but you got to have an interest in who your boss is going to be, don't you?
Of course. So right now it's early. It's so early. I'm not paying attention to any of like the random Twitter talk. Once it starts to get more serious, it's probably going to be after the World Series. I will start to pay closer attention and, you know, maybe, yeah, might have conversations with the front office, things like that. But, you know, as they like go through the interview process with whoever, and people are like spreading rumors, I'm not really interested in hearing about all that.
There is a report, I believe, out of NBC Chicago that former White Sox skipper Ozzie Guillen will interview for the job.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
I think Ozzie's hilarious, man. I love talking to him. You know, I love him and Chuck Garfine in the post game show. It's funny, but you know, that's all I know Ozzie in that role, right? I've never seen Ozzie Guillen except for when I watched the World Series in 2005 on television, right? Like, I've never seen him as a manager. I've seen him as a TV host, you know. So obviously I know he has a lot of experience. He has a lot of familiarity with the ball club. He's won with the ball club. Yeah, that's all good stuff. But I mean, I don't know him like super closely and, yeah, and in that way. So yeah, I think it's very interesting and exciting.
Oh, it'll be interesting if he comes back for a second time. Hey, they did it with La Russa. Maybe they'll do it with Ozzy. I'm always interested because I would go watch their post-game show. You guys would have a shitty game or whatever. He says whatever the hell he wants. Like,
yeah,
he's not afraid.
Yeah, I respect it, man.
Do
absolutely
you?
Yeah, say how you feel.
Some players, not all, but some say, well, hold on, you guys are supposed to be nice to us. Like, we can take some criticism, but man, if you're constantly wailing on us, and there were times where I'd turn it on, I was like, every day Ozzie's just going lighting a blowtorch to you. It didn't bother you?
No, if we suck, like, and people talk about it, like, it is what it is. It's that's how it is, you know. I'm not here to like worry about getting my feelings hurt. I want to play better. it's as easy as that. And like, shout out to the White Sox, like, beat writers, the media, like, they're so nice to me. Even, you know, I had some games this year where it's like, I'm giving one word answers. I was not happy. Just in a bad place. And like, they were cool with it. Like, they didn't like go and torch me. So yeah, it's like, it is what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else do you have planned for your off season? You guys, can you travel at all? Cause I know, all right, since she's doing this 1 year program there, she's probably really swamped. Do you guys get a chance to get away and do anything fun?
Yeah, maybe if she can save up some PTO days, like, we can get a little something going. But like I was saying before, like, I have this like very clear motivation to have a nice season next year, to kind of right the ship. So that's kind of where my focus is at.
Okay. You like San Diego?
I do. Yeah, La Jolla is beautiful. I mean, San Diego in general is beautiful. But you got the golf cart and everything.
Oh yeah, the golf cart. Setup. How's the golf cart? How's the golf cart doing?
It's nice. Got license plates on it. Yeah, it's official.
So did you trick it out or anything?
I want to make it go faster. It gets up to like 35, I think. 30, 35.
That's plenty.
I'd love to see that thing go like 50 miles an hour.
No, that, dude, this ain't a car. Okay. The last thing we need, if you're working so hard to make 2023 the best one yet, we don't need you flying out of a freaking golf cart. The thing doesn't have doors on it.
That's true. There's seatbelts though.
Oh, there are?
Yeah.
Shoulder harness. Oh, there it is again.
Yeah, that's with Louie on it. Yeah, they're shoulder seatbelts, right? Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes me feel better.
Yeah.
I was driving one time. I went to visit Millar down in Austin, and Kevin is hauling ass on the golf cart, and I'm trying to take it easy. I've got one of my kids and one of his kids on the back, so he's just tearing ass, and he makes a big turn. I make a big turn. His kid goes flying off the golf cart, rolling down the fairway. And I was like, thankfully, Kevin did not see it. But one of his kids, he was probably 10 at the time, just go, I was like, damn it. That sucks. Are you a risk taker? Are you like a bungee jumper,
no,
skydiver wannabe, any of that stuff?
No. I don't want to do those kinds of sports. The I snowboarded when I was a kid, surfed. I do want to get back into surfing. The problem is I'm just so big. Like I need like a very long board. Yeah, I'm usually like when I go out in the water, it's like a lot of sponging and or boogie boarding. But it's like, you know, I'm a grown man boogie boarding. I'd rather stand up. It's just hard. I got to find like, I'm telling you, it's got to be a big board. I'm a big boy. So that's about it. I'm not like, you won't see me skydiving or any of that stuff. I don't see it as worth it.
I bet you Liam Hendricks does everything, doesn't he?
No.
He doesn't?
No.
Oh, so he just plays the crazy Aussie.
Yeah. No, I don't see him like, he might, I don't know. I can ask him, but I don't think he's like the, what's it called? Like adrenaline junkie. No, cause it's all like pitching. Like he gets like crazy pitching. But when he's like not on the mound, like he likes playing with Legos and stuff. He's not he's not into the nuts, like adrenaline junkie type stuff.
Yeah. This might come as a complete shock. Neither am I. I don't even do roller coasters. I can't do really? Roller coasters.
I'll do roller coasters. I like roller coasters.
Ugh, no. Mm-mm. Won't do them.
The only reason I like, oh, paintball. We did paintball last week.
Okay.
Legit. I can send some photos. So it was for Jack's birthday.
Uh-huh.
He rented out like the whole paintball course for like 4 or 5 hours. He brought a photographer. And the day before, I was like, all right, Jack's like, you know, doing this. He's spending all this money for his birthday for paintballing. Like, I gotta contribute. Cause he had like a group of 20 people come in, including our agent, Brian. And so the day before I went to this paintball store, I just like Googled and I found like a paintball store. I went and I bought helmets for everyone because from what I've heard and from my own experience paintballing, like the rental helmets are really gross and like you can't see out of them. They fog up and it just kind of kills the vibe. So I got everyone helmets and then I was like looking at paintball guns. I'm like, I know those rental guns are shitty too, man. And I'm looking at it. I'm like, I want to buy one. So I bought one. I got like the air canister and the hopper. And I text like Jack. I'm like, watch out, man. Cause I bought my own gun. I'm gonna be out there like Rambo. And he's like, get me one too. I'm like, all right. So I got him one. And then I texted my brother who also came, Casey. I was like, watch out. Me and Jack are going to be dominating tomorrow. He's like, oh, I want one. I'm like, shit. All right. I'll get you one too. So I got Casey one. And then when I texted Ryan, our agent, I was like, you're about to get like shit on tomorrow, dog. Like we are going to crush you. We got legit guns. He's like, I want one too. So I ended up buying 4 guns, helmets. I got myself some knee pads. And the knee pads were probably the best purchase of them all because I was out there like sliding. I was like, for the Call of Duty players that listen, slide canceling. I was like out there. It was legit. Yeah, a lot of fun. Big time adrenaline rush too. Like paintball's a good time. I did pretty well. We played this one game mode called football where like one team starts at the bottom and the course is kind of on a hill. So one team starts on the bottom, the other team starts at the top. The team at the top is defending. The team at the bottom has to carry a bag full of sand. It's called the football to the goal line. And I was kind of like directing traffic. I was like, all right, this is the plan. This is what we're going to do. Cause I played so much Call of Duty. I'm like, all right, I got the strategies. We ended up winning. We dominated that game mode. My best individual performance was one of like the last games of the day. I crept around the side. I was like literally army crawling. And I like got a good flank on the other team. And I ended up taking out like 5 or 6 people.
That's cool. I love that.
I also got shot right on the top of the head.
You got
that
shot?
Hurt. Yeah, because the mask only comes up to here. It like covers your eyes and your face. I got shot right on the top of the head. That one hurt.
So did your hair get all like colored red and stuff?
I had a hat on.
Oh.
Yeah.
By the way, there's no real good place to hide you.
That's the one downside. I think that's why I could never be a professional paintballer is because I'm way too big. Like I would get behind some cover and I was like, I think I'm behind cover. And then like it like whizzes up off my hair. I'm like, oh crap. Yeah.
What are you? 6'6", 2 what?
Like 260.
Jesus. You're an animal. You really are big. No joke. One of my buddies is one of the new characters on Call of Duty that just came out.
Voiceover?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So I got to play I've heard the campaign is badass, like the story mode.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a Call of Duty guy, not much of a gamer, but yeah, I mean, he was super excited about it.
Well, do you know what his character's name is?
I don't, but he's our announcer on BattleBots. He's the guy all Farouk. He does all the rhymes.
Oh, nice.
So I was like, well, what's your character? He's like, Chris, I'm the black guy. So I was like, okay, great. You got it. You got it.
There you go.
That's what we're doing right now. We're in the middle of shooting season 7 of BattleBots.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually flying back tonight to go finish up the rest of the year. It has been amazing. You will like it. I'm going to guarantee you.
Yeah, I'm absolutely going to watch this season.
Yeah, we come out sometime in early January, I think, is when it comes out. So,
perfect.
By the way, you can be just like my son, Brady, whom you met. He mm-hmm. fast forwards through all the shit that I say, and then he just gets right to the fight. So I'm not going
to
take
it right to the action.
Yeah. Yeah. But don't worry. Like when you start and stuff, I don't fast forward through your pitching just so I can see the White Sox hit. I would never do that to you. I like to watch you pitch. Okay.
Okay. Cool. All right.
Hopefully you'll make it up to LA at some point during the off season so we can do dinner again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Cool. I like that. One last question about free agency. Obviously not for you. You're still a ways away from that. Are you more interested in seeing where Aaron Judge ends up or where Jacob DeGrom goes?
Aaron Judge.
Could you imagine if he left New York?
Like the Yankees? Because the Mets are going to – I mean, Mets are going to put in probably a hefty offer.
That would be unbelievable if he went from the Bronx to Queens. That city would turn upside down.
It'd be nuts.
Wow. Holy smokes. Did he get you this year?
I didn't face the Yankees.
Oh, well then that's a no. Good job.
Yeah, good thing I didn't, or I might have finished with an ERA over 5. I got it just under my last start.
That's great. I love it that you're able to laugh about it. I know you're obviously really focused on getting this out of your system and turning the page to 2023. We don't expect anything less. We will check in at some point again during the off season, if that's mm-hmm. okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Let me know when you're in Los Angeles. Tell Ari we say hello, please. And thanks for hanging out today. We got a winner for the World Series?
I got the Astros in 5.
Not even going back to Houston.
Okay. Yeah.
I just want to see a long series. I like long series. They're good for our sport.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Creates a lot of fun. That'll be cool. All right, man. Enjoy your golf cart. Enjoy Louie. Enjoy paintball.
Is the wheel gone?
I haven't had time to change the, but let me see what I got. I haven't had time to change
it. It's one of my favorite parts.
I know. Well, I think you answered crushing it. Didn't you tell me your first celebrity crush?
Yeah, no, we've done that one.
I think I've done Mini Me, which is the best thing in the mini bar that you devour every time on a road trip.
Oh, the chocolate caramels. We've done that.
I'm sorry. I've been behind. I've been out of town. I'm going to have to get my wheel in turn back on new categories. Giving Mood was the gift, the last gift you gave somebody.
We've done that one.
Jesus.
And I already talked about it, the paintball stuff.
Yeah.
grade A. I don't remember that.
Oh. But we've kind of indirectly talked about it, but I would like to know more specifics. The how are you as a student in high school?
Ooh. Before high school, straight A's. I got to Harvard Westlake. I went to public school before Harvard Westlake. And I thought school was pretty easy. I got to Harvard Westlake in my first semester. When my dad saw my first semester report card, he literally thought that I was an idiot. And I was like, no, dad, you don't understand. This is a lot different than Lincoln Middle School. I had to learn like how to study and stuff. I never studied before that. Like I would just like take in the information in class and then I was fine for like tests and writing papers and whatnot. Completely different when I got to high school, and geometry still does not make sense to me. It never will. I'm glad that I'm in a position I'd never have to worry about doing proofs of triangles. That was brutal. Chemistry also terrible, but my chemistry teacher, I was very nice to, and a bunch of the other kids in the class were not nice to her because she was kind of like, it was her first year teaching the course and she was kind of struggling. And a lot of like the overachievers in the class were like, she sucks at teaching, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yo, dude, like give her a break, man. And I was like nice to her. And I like tried to work with her as best I could and explain like, yo, this shit is not making sense to me. And she helped me out a lot. So I didn't like just straight up fail that. But I mean, I finished high school with like a 3.3.
Harvard Westlake, it's very good.
Yeah, not bad.
No joke. By the way,
I did well in English and history. I was good. Yeah.
Good.
Math, science, not so much.
Yeah. You're doing just fine with your math. As long as you can add up your arbitration eligible salaries, you'll be fine. His character, Farouk's character, is Hutch.
Oh, Hutch. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I want to say Hutch might have been in like previous titles. I'm not sure, though. I'm not like the expert by any means.
Yeah, I think this is his first go around in Call of Duty.
Okay. Yeah, the like reviews, I think, of like, because they just released like the single player story mode campaign before the like multiplayer. And from what I'm hearing, people are loving it. Like it's a really, really good narrative and everything. So
love it.
I got to check it out.
Enjoy that. Keep kicking ass on your workouts and your biomechanics and all those cool things that make you who
Thanks,
you are.
Chris.
Absolutely. Special shout out to our producer extraordinaire, the one and only Robbie Scirocco, for Lucas Giolito. I am Chris Rose. We'll see you next time here on the Chris Rose Rotation, a production of John Boy Media.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.